Welcome, rubber-suited monsters, to episode 86 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. A podcast that takes pride in leaving destruction in its wake. I'm Tom Zilla.
I'm Brian Don.
And tonight, we'll be ringing in Kai January, as we've called it, by welcoming our special guest and kaiju expert, Jordan. But before we learn the ins and outs of kaiju with Jordan, let's stomp back in time and discuss the goings-on in our monstrous lives with our usual weekly geekly, geekly weekly roundup. Brian Don, tell us how many Japanese villagers you've eaten in the past week.
I was stomping my way through foreign lands this entire weekend, and it was hellish. I was in Sarasota for work, and they have one comic book store, and I don't know, man. It was kind of a cool place to hang out, but I always feel like what I think people must feel like around me when I'm around other nerds, because Jesus Christ, we're standoffish and kind of pricky. Like, I was so excited to go there. I was just like, oh, God, finally something I'm familiar with in the middle of this, you know, completely foreign land that I'm not enjoying myself and I don't know a soul. And I barely spoke a word all Sunday and Monday. And I get there, and it was like three guys in the back just, like, hunched over Warhammer, like, completely ignoring everyone else and talking about the new White Dwarf. And I was like, oh, this is why people aren't into this. Right.
So you did not find a warm welcome among your kind in this strange land?
I wasn't expecting a warm welcome. I couldn't even chisel in.
You know what we need to institute? You know how, like Jewish people are obligated to take in a fellow Jewish person who's from out of town, if, you know, to, when it comes to celebrating holidays and that kind of thing?
Like a nerdish sanctuary?
Yeah, we have to like put in a law that, like, nerds, you know, have to take in other nerds who are traveling on the road and show them hospitality. We, like, need that to be our law.
That would be a great section of the website.
Yes, yes. Do your duty. So, traveling north and west from our home to Sarasota and not enjoying yourself too much as you were out there for work, it sounds like.
It was worth it just for this next story. They do have a lot of old bookstores, apparently. And I found one that just so perfectly met my expectations of these tiny little, like, ratty bookstores. So I walked in at, like, 4:30, and the woman looked up. We close at 5! Yeah, I think I can pick up a vampire novel in half an hour. Is that cool with you, or do you not want my money?
Wow, she just really didn't want you in there, huh?
She just really wanted to go home for the day. And I kind of hate that, because I so love those stores, but wow, they're all run by old crones.
Lady, just don't work here anymore. How's that?
I'm so thankful for the few by us that aren't like that. God, I had to support them even harder this weekend.
Sounds like a plan.
And then the last place I went was a little bit different. It was a place called Brent's Books, which was like the mecca of used bookstores. Just ginormous. I think they said they had 250,000 books. And then they did, like, all kinds of, like, first edition collectibles, you know, things like that. It wasn't just, like, a used romance section. They had in the sci-fi stacks and stacks of comic books in milk crates, and I was like, well, you never know what you're gonna find. Let me go through them. And I go through these things, and they're not in great shape. I didn't think I was gonna find, like, $1,000 book or anything like that, but I thought I might be find something interesting to read. I go through them, and there's a bunch of, like, really, really old, like all those 25 cent and 30 cent books, DC, Marvel, Spider-Man, Superman, like a bunch of cool stuff that I couldn't afford in good condition. And I figured, like, you know, and maybe this is like a couple of bucks each or whatever, I'll buy them. So I grab one, I go up to her and I'm like, I don't know how the comic books work. These aren't marked. And she's like, oh, well, I'll have to look it up. Why don't you let me have it? And you know, finished looking. And I was like, okay, cool. So I gave her this book, and she starts looking it up or whatever. And I go traipsing around. And I come back just in time to see her open the front cover and write the price on the page, just like she would any book.
Oh, my goodness. So she ruined the comic.
I'm like, what are you doing? That comic was like 50 years old and she's just like writing in it.
Wow, it probably did have some value and she like completely destroyed it.
It was only like, you know, $25 or something like that, but still just like, oh my god.
Wow. Man.
If you're a used bookstore, stick to books. Just give those comics away or something. Let someone else clearly take care of them.
Yeah, don't deal like an art either, by the way.
Just write on the back of it.
Right. Picasso, $100. Oh. Wow, so any other happenings in Sarasota to report on?
No, not really. That was pretty much it. Used books and one comic book store. Nice comic book store, just not a friendly crowd.
Mm. All right, well, I wish I could say my week was much better. When it comes to geeky stuff, man, it was my first week back at work after my long holiday vacation, and tough. It's always tough to come back. The only thing I can really say I did was play a little more Ni No Kuni. I beat the main campaign, and I have been doing like extra quests on that fine PlayStation 3 role-playing game. Definitely recommend it once again. I also started reading again. I continued the Effinger trilogy with the book Exile Kiss. I have gotten back into that pretty quickly. I really enjoy the story and the setting. So apart from that, I've been, man, that's it. Just fighting off depression and settling back into being a working slob. Hopefully a lot more interesting stuff coming up in the near future. I guess with those somewhat decidedly subdued weekly updates out of the way, we could probably get to our guest to bring the mood way up in the room. What do you say?
Yeah, I think we can immediately start working on your better future.
Right. Let's do that. Without further ado, let's bring on our special guest, Jordan. All right. To help us ring in the month of Kai January, as we have christened it, we have none other than international kaiju expert Jordan. Hello, sir, and welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. We have many questions. We have great need of your kaiju wisdom, and we hope that you can impart that wisdom during this episode.
Sure, I'll help as best as I can with this.
Well, this is one sort of geeky subgenre we have not covered in great depth because we've only got really a very surface understanding. Brian, I think I speak for you too when I say that.
My entire exposure has been Godzilla, so yeah.
Okay. So I guess, in a nutshell, Jordan, the first thing we would invite you to do is give an overview of kaiju. What is kaiju? I hear the word tossed around a lot, and I need to know from an expert what it actually is.
Okay, well, kaiju, technically, the definition means strange beast. Now, the word kaiju was used more and more when these suit-acted movies came to be. You know, they came out one after another. You know, once these things hit popularity, they were just like a train. They were riding this train, you know, straight through the late 50s into the 60s and pretty much tapering off in the early 70s. Now, you know, the word is synonymous with the monster itself. A lot of people think anything large, anything that, you know, can't be destroyed by human forces, which needs another monster to battle it, oh, that's kaiju. But a lot of it has become synonymous with kaiju equals the man in the suit. You know, Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, those have been like those key figures where people think, oh, the guy in the rubber suit, quote-unquote, kaiju.
So would you say that the guy in the rubber suit is or is not a prerequisite for something to be considered kaiju? Like, no, just kind of strange otherworldly monster?
I wouldn't say strange otherworldly monster. There's other definitions to go into that. You know, there's outer space beings in some of those movies, and those are called kaijin, which equals like a mysterious person.
Ah.
Well, you know, someone that's human-sized and stuff like that. You know, they might transform at some point. They might have a different agenda. But, you know, even in Japan and over here, pretty much when you think, you know, the guy in the suit, you know, stomping on buildings, that is kaiju nowadays.
I see. So if I'm in Japan and I hear somebody say something that sounds like kaijin, if they're calling me a gaijin, that's one thing, I'm a foreigner. But if they're calling me a kaijin, then I'm really foreign.
Yeah, you're a mysterious person.
Ooh, I want to be a kaijin. Or that might not be good.
Mostly it's aliens.
Illegal aliens. I'm going to be an illegal alien kaijin in Japan. Okay, we have a good overview. So to sort of get some examples to sort of really cement that. We're going to do a quick rapid fire, bounce this off you, and you say yay or nay on whether it's kaiju. And some of these, I will forewarn you, are intentionally ridiculous, so please don't be offended and hang up on the call.
Okay.
All right. The American classic monster, King Kong.
I would say on certain ways, yes.
Okay, maybe.
He has met Godzilla before, and there was a guy in a suit in 62.
Okay. What about the CG King Kong from the recent movie?
I would not consider that. That's, you know, it's a different look. It's a different feel. Mostly when people, you know, talk about the kaiju, it's the man in the rubber suit. It's the traditional way of doing it. And it's become just a pastime over there. They don't want to give that up. People are like, why do they still make the guy in the rubber suit even into the 80s and into the 90s? And it's just the way they like to do it. It's just a tradition now.
It looks good, though. It has a look you cannot duplicate in CG.
Yeah.
So King Kong Bundy was going to be my next one, but obviously he's out. He's not even wearing a suit.
No.
And I believe he's dead.
I am not too sure about that. I'll have to look that one up. I am a fan, though.
Who isn't? Brian, you got one? You got one to bounce off, Jordan?
I'm still trying to figure out who King Kong Bundy is.
He's a wrestler. You don't know who King Kong Bundy was?
The guy from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
No.
That was King Hippo. Wrong king. He's kaiju, right? King Hippo?
I don't know about that one.
All right, I'll bounce another one off you while Brian's taking it his. Okay. The big brontosaurus creatures in the 80s classic movie Baby.
Baby Secret of the Lost Legend. Funny, my grandmother actually took me to see that in the theater. Now, I would not consider them. Are there people in suits? Yes.
Those were guys in suits?
Oh, yeah, the baby.
You can definitely cover that.
That's definitely like just someone on all fours, like walking around.
Yes, I knew it. I knew I kind of had it on a technicality with baby. Wow. All right, Brian, come on. That's two. You've had to have one now.
I think I know the answer, though. This isn't going to be a good question. What about Q?
From Next Generation?
No, from the movie Q.
Yeah, do you remember this? This kind of, when I was a kid, I thought it was kind of a scary movie, the flying monster, right?
Yeah, it was like a really cheap rodent.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. You know, I wouldn't know where to place that. I haven't seen that in forever, but now I know the movie that you're talking about, but you know, who knows if that was released overseas, who knows what they called it.
Okay. All right. Though they are obviously not people in suits, what about the Robies from Voltron? If it was a live action movie, say.
If it was a live action movie, I would not say that. I think that would fall more under like a, something like a tokusatsu, something like, you know, like what we call over here, like Power Rangers or Kamen Rider. That means a live action with a lot of special effects included in the production.
You know, I should have mentioned Power Rangers. So the Robies like monsters in Power Rangers also do not qualify.
I would say that goes into the Sentai series. Now the Sentai series has always been about like either a group of characters and some other alien coming down to get us or some other, you know, evil force. And the same thing always goes on. They need to assemble a giant robot. There's mostly a creature. That creature grows to gigantic size. Now, you know, there is some city trashing and stuff like that. I would consider them probably when they grow to the enormous size, probably in the kaiju genre. Mm. But that falls into the Sentai series, which started quite a while back.
I see. Okay. Brian, you got another one?
No, seriously, my entire exposure has been Godzilla to this point, sorry.
All right, okay, last one that I'm asking just to be ridiculous. The stop-motion Kraken from Clash of the Titans.
I would say no.
Come on.
Even though it is amazing and I'm a huge Harryhausen fan, can't give it up.
Can he be honorary, like an honorary, like semi-kaiju beast?
Sure, you go on the Wikipedia, enter him, you make it official.
All right, awesome. Let's make it happen. Post-show.
I love how that's the definition of official these days.
Yeah.
Wikipedia? It totally is. There's one called Kaijupedia, actually. And
yes, there is.
Is there really? I just made that
up.
Nice. Of course there is. Of course there is. Put anything in front of Pedia. All right. Given that we now have sort of narrowed down or hammered out a definition of kaiju that we can all sort of grasp and agree on, I want to get your opinion on some recent Western, or I don't want to say mainstream because that's kind of culturocentric, I guess, but some sort of Western blockbuster depictions of supposed kaiju. The most recent one that comes to mind is last summer's blockbuster, I guess it was, Pacific Rim.
Yes. Now, I thoroughly enjoy the movie. You know, I own the Blu-ray. I ran out and bought it first day. I saw it in the theater, and I enjoyed it for what it was. Was it a typical kaiju movie? No. Was it a modernized one? Of course. You know, it was done with CG. There weren't guys in suits. There was quite a bit of practical effects because Del Toro is a huge fan of the practical. And he went into stating that he wanted these monsters and the look of everything to be like, hey, a guy could fit into that if it was a suit. He threw the word kaiju in, a little flashback, a little nod, a little wink to what came before that movie. But I fully enjoyed it. I mean, I would have liked to see a little bit more maybe what we saw in the beginning, that quick montage of, you know, how they came out of the ocean. We were already establishing a universe where there were kaiju. Like that opening scene where the ones destroying San Francisco in the daylight, where there's no rain, it's not dark, and you can actually get a good view of them. I wish there was more like that. Everything was kind of dark in the rain. Now, I can understand you can add, you know, in modern times, CG and whatnot, you can add atmosphere. You can add snow. But just that classic pulling back the camera and seeing the city skyline and seeing two beasts there side by side, there really wasn't that scale sometimes to see how big these things were.
Yeah, it did seem like the shots were a little on the tight side. And other than maybe when they were breaching like a defensive wall and stuff, you didn't get the sense of these like city crushing monsters because at that point they were confronting them in the water for the most part, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you got a good scale of them during the flashback scene, the one girl and her traumatic experience as a child. And you see her getting saved. And that was probably the best view if you got one, you know, squeezing down the city street and stuff, trying to get to her.
Right. That flashback scene was awesome.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite parts of the movie.
So the mechs, what do they call them? Jaegers or something that they used to fight? Okay. I guess my question is, would they be something akin to, like, Ultraman, who I understand is actually just a guy that grows large, right? He's not really a robot, but he's not also, he's more mechanical looking.
Yeah. He's not a robot. He's mostly an alien or an alien's entity that fuses with a person. It depends what series you're talking about. And, you know, the Jaegers were mostly flashbacks almost to multiple, like, different ideas from different animated series from Japan. Like, lots of different little nods here and there from, like, the head being a separate entity and latching onto the body to launching them the way they were deployed. A lot of the different series are little nods to creating those mechs.
So it was kind of a sort of an anime mecha mashup with kaiju, or the movie. Okay, cool. I am at least on board with that. The mecha thing I know a little better. Brian, you have anything to add or talk about with reference to Pacific Rim, its authenticity, its awesomeness, lack thereof?
Never saw it.
You never saw Pacific Rim?
Uh-uh.
Wow. Jordan, should Brian see it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a definitely go-to movie. I mean, I liked it actually the second time I watched it more because you could kind of, you know, you can see it all. I mean, on the big screen, it is a massive movie, and I saw it in a theater that had a, you know, giant digital screen, so it was a lot to take in. Then the second time at home, I have a decent TV soundbar set up, cranked it up, and you can actually pick out a lot more when you're not, when you're alone, you're watching it, turn down the lights, and, you know, you can see a lot more of the movie, you can grasp a little bit more. Not like it's a deep film or anything. You're like, oh, I missed that plot. But right. You can definitely tell, like, little nuances, like shipping containers are getting ripped open at the dock. You can actually see individual scooters flying out of them and just tiny little nuances they put in that movie.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And I guess that's a good example of at least some scale where they're showing you shipping containers getting knocked around. And I think there was even a you just reminded me of another scene in the movie, speaking of scale, where doesn't one of the mechs actually use like a cargo ship as like a baseball bat?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. All right, Brian, so it has a solid endorsement. You've got to watch the movie.
The baseball bat did it. That convinced me.
It's no hide-and-seek game outside Sam's house in Transformers, as we're so fond of discussing, but it's still pretty cool. So let's kind of step our way back in time before looking forward to the future. Let's talk about a few years back, the movie Cloverfield, where the monster there was sort of sold as this new iconic American monster. I really don't think it took on iconic proportions. What were your opinions of that movie, that monster, its treatment of the genre, etc.?
I got to actually say that I never made it through the movie. When I saw it in the theaters, I made about halfway through. Then when they were trapped in buildings, going buildings to buildings as those little burster aliens were after them, I kind of passed out in the theater.
But that was a tense, like, scene, man. You weren't, like, totally...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I kind of liked the idea as a one-off. Like, they're doing a shaky cam first-person's ordeal of, you know, a giant monster ordeal if it was to be. You know, they took it very serious.
Right.
Now, this is what's going to go on. It was almost more like you're watching, you know, the aftermath of a hurricane or an earthquake. The monster, if he wasn't there, it would have been an earthquake movie.
Right. He was a force of nature. He was the disaster.
Yeah. You know, the original Godzilla, when he came out, he is also a force of nature, quote unquote. You know, that's what he was pretty much being shown as.
I will say, I don't know the particulars of the people who created that movie or the person or whatever, but I think that there was a definite, I want the cool claustrophobic feeling of an alien movie, right? You know, where these critters are chasing you. So that's why we got that sequence combined with the disaster movie and the very popular shaky cam and throw in the big monster. I think you nailed it. It is sort of an amalgamation of a lot of genres, right?
While we're on the topic, again, with my limited experience, I wouldn't have considered Cloverfield kaiju just because it didn't feel like any other movies that are kaiju. Is there any atmosphere or theme element to it besides, you know, mass destruction, like the comedy or the lack of seriousness? Because I always felt, and you said it best, that was like a natural disaster movie, not a fun tear-em-up alien movie.
Yeah. Some of them are, there's been kaiju movies that take it very seriously, quote unquote, even though you're looking at guys running around in suits, kicking over make-believe buildings. But, you know, some are written trying to be very scientific, trying to be very serious, maybe trying to get a point across. And then there are ones that are very tongue-in-cheek, throw a little funniness in, have a comic relief. Not all of them depict a monster coming to trash the city. There are ones that totally go off in a different tangent. You know, of alien invasion. There's ones that are called the Daimajin. He's considered kaiju. It's called the Daimajin movies in 1966. They did a trilogy. All three movies came out in 1 year. You can actually, they came out 2 years ago on Blu-ray. You can actually just go on Amazon, look up Daimajin movies. You can get them all in 1 cent. I think it's only like maybe $20. Beautiful widescreen restorations of the films. Now, these are time period pieces. They take place in feudal Japan, so you're looking at guys dressed as samurais, and everything's traditional, but there is a monster element to it.
That sounds awesome. I had no idea such a thing existed.
Yeah, they're actually really amazing movies.
We're going to do a must-sees round with you in a few minutes, so definitely lead in with that one, because I want to make sure that I follow up on that and that we make that available to our audience. That's cool, man. Okay, so let's continue our walk down memory lane. A few years before Cloverfield, the bar was really set high, I think we can all agree, with the excellent Matthew Broderick-fueled 1990s Godzilla movie, where Godzilla was a big iguana, and there was this awesome, awesome, so good advertising campaign featuring a great chihuahua at Taco Bell. It was pretty much the highlight of the 20th century and the 1990s.
Yeah. Gotta say, not a fan. I don't know many people that are a fan. I mean, the whole hype before the movie, I remember sitting in the theater, don't know what movie I was seeing. I remember the trailer coming, the original trailer where it was the teaser, and it makes you almost think like, oh, it's going to be a Jurassic Park movie where they show the inside of a museum, you're seeing a T-Rex skeleton, and it's zooming in, and it's giving you a little talk over something like that, and suddenly through the glass roof, you see Godzilla's foot come through the museum, step on the T-Rex skeleton, and then, you know, come out of the shot, and you're like, and then the Godzilla logo popped up, and I was like, there we go. It's like pretty much giving you a big F you Jurassic Park. You know, you got a giant dinosaur, here's our giant dinosaur. And I was pretty much, I was like, nice, here we go. Big budget Godzilla movie. And then, lo and behold, that isn't what we got. It was pretty much Jurassic Park on a huge scale. Everything from the eggs at the end, and we had the raptor chase. It was pretty much kind of a Jurassic Park ripoff and not quite Godzilla.
Don't forget the fighter planes borrowed straight from Independence Day, another excellent movie.
Oh, yeah. You got to get my brother on to discuss that movie with you.
Oh, I could talk. I could bash that movie from now until the day I die. But let's not go down that road.
I like that one, man.
Independence Day?
Oh, it's fun.
Oh, we've got to do a show just about that. Gosh. But to stay focused on Godzilla, because I can really go off on Independence Day. Yeah, what a total bum out disappointment that movie was. I came away like kind of offended. Like they actually were so sure of themselves that they thought they could like take this genre and improve on it by making it serious and believable or whatever with the whole mutated iguana. And of course, yeah, it doesn't breathe fire. Let's not get ridiculous. Oh, God, it was bad.
Yeah, I mean, when I walked out of that theater, like, you know, I thought about that movie for a while and I was like, you know what? They changed it for American audiences to accept it. Because at that point, I think we were like, there was a couple of sci-fi movies and we had Jurassic Park where it's like, look, this is based in reality. This could happen. So I think they took the Godzilla, like, you know, everyone thinks, oh, Godzilla, you know, he runs around a city, trashes it, steps on buildings. Fine, he did that part. But they try to almost base it too much in reality instead of using that just outside reality, that fantasy which hooks you in and you're like, he's larger than life. This is what I came to see. We're seeing things that don't happen in the natural world.
Right. For some reason, they had it in their heads, as you said, like, as an American audience, either we couldn't get the fantastic elements that were present in the Japanese movies upon from which this movie drew inspiration, or the Japanese creators were just completely like missing the point of a real serious monster movie. And now we were going to come in and improve on it with this piece of junk. Brian, are you on board with this movie, or did you really love it?
With Godzilla?
Yeah.
No, it was terrible. That one was horrible, dude. That wasn't even fun.
When I'm watching a monster movie, the last thing I want to do is like look down at my watch at the time because I didn't have a cell phone and be like, man, is this almost over? And I got to say, the one thing it had going for it at that time, its special effects have not aged well. I saw it on TV the other day and the Iguanodon dinosaur looks terrible, man. Which is another feather in the cap of the whole man in a rubber suit. That we can get into a broader discussion of CG and its overuse in a whole bunch of movies.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
not. Let's not even mention Star Wars. Let's not even mention it. Okay, so we've kind of stepped back through some pretty prominent examples, Western examples, if you will, of treatment of the genre. Now, I'd like to get your opinion on, well, fill us in on the new Godzilla movie. You linked me about this, probably a couple weeks ago, which is what inspired this whole episode, Jordan. So, fill us in. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, there's been, you know, everyone's been knowing that it's coming for a while. You know, they've, I think it was Comic-Con 2 years ago, they kind of revealed the logo and they gave a little bit of teaser footage to an audience saying, you know, everyone's like, can't believe what I saw. He looks massive. There was another creature involved. It isn't going to be just Godzilla. We saw these things. I don't know how to explain them. And then that went on, and, you know, the company never released this footage. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't show off that, you know, that pre-treatment for Comic-Con. Then the next year rolled around, and at Comic-Con in the last year, I don't know if you saw, they had this huge Godzilla thing that they set up in a warehouse where it was like a stroll through Godzilla memory lane. Like, it showed all the other movies and posters and some toys and, you know, and it pretty much showed, like, some like setups of what the creature might look at, you know, and they were saying, you know, this is not the final product, you know, things might change. And they showed a little bit of footage that was test footage of Godzilla walking by a building because, like, it made, like, I guess you were looking out the window and Godzilla was looking back at you from what I hear. And everyone was like, this, it was great. The roar was there, which was not apparent in the Matthew Broderick film. They kind of tweaked it a little. Everyone's like, you know, this one, you know, of course, all the Godzilla roars, you know, are tweaked subtly, but they're like, this is it. You know, it's the iconic Godzilla shriek roar mm-hmm. that he says. And was it 2 months ago now, a month ago, that first trailer hit the web. And everyone's pretty positive about it from what I see. I mean, they're not making like it's going to be a classic or anything, but they're looking at it like it's a serious film. It has a very epic scale, you know. The whole city is on fire. If anyone has not seen the trailer, you know, just hit up YouTube, check that out. But, you know, from what I've seen, you know, I saw it, I'm like, you know what? I'm sold. From what I saw already, I'm like, that looks better than the entire Matthew Broderick film put together.
Just the trailer. I mean, they could literally just release the trailer now and that's it. And they bested the Broderick film.
Yeah, I mean, some people are, you know, have qualms here and there about, like, you know, Godzilla's look, but, you know, in every single film, almost, you know, he has changed appearance. The suit is always different. They revamp it. They change it a little bit. And he's taken some drastic changes, you know, in some years compared to others. But some people don't like the short snout. Some think he's a little too bulky. But from what I see and, you know, what is quote-unquote acceptable for an American audience in our what I think is our, we can't separate ourselves from, like, what is reality, I'm guessing. They can't live in a fantasy world and accept something that's, you know, out of the ordinary. I think it looks pretty good. I'm down with it.
Cool. I'm excited. I'm excited that you're excited. I wonder, is he going to have, like, big back scales that glow when he's ready to, like, fire his breath weapon?
That I don't know. I have not heard if the fins are going to glow or illuminate before the atomic breath fires off. But I have heard that from various sources. I think he even said in an interview there will be atomic breath.
Nice. Is Broderick in this one? Have they determined what his role is going to be?
No. So from what I've seen, he is not on the picture.
Oh, man. Jeez,
Siskel
really...
and Ebert jokes?
Wait, what? Siskel and Ebert jokes?
The whole movie. Remember the mayor was like a fat critic, and the other guy, his assistant, was like the tall.
I must have missed that joke.
Yeah, you were so completely wrapped up in the rest of the movie.
It was a huge running gag throughout the entire thing. It drove me nuts. It was basically like they were just the Siskel and Ebert characters.
Hopefully, there's no big piles of fish like hidden in the in an arena to lure the monster because of babies. God, this is like going to have babies in this one, I hope.
No, I think he's going to be busy with some other monsters. From what we've seen and what I've heard, there's some sort of, they're not going to be as big as him, but who knows what happens throughout the movie, but there's going to be some sort of insectoid kind of monsters. I guess in the trailer, I think you see some, on like some stills at least, you see some giant holes in the jungle that like helicopters are flying over and surveying.
Oh, cool.
That is supposedly where these other creatures originate. You know, not that much has come out, but people who've seen that original test footage that was at Comic-Con 2 years ago, they're saying that that's those creatures they saw that were, like, obliterated by Godzilla. You know, they were like, they're not as big as him, you know, so he's going to be fighting multiple ones. But, you know, there's been films where there are small creatures in the beginning and they evolve or they combine to make something larger. So who knows where they're going to go with this?
He could be fighting like Insectoid Prime by the end of the movie. You don't know.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, he could be leaving a ruined city behind as two little Japanese girls stand on a hill waving goodbye. Bye. Come back. Yeah. We miss you. That's what I'm really hoping for.
I'm okay with that.
I always thought it was a little odd. I mean, I understand that sometimes you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet, but I don't know. When your city's destroyed, I don't know if I want to wave goodbye to any monsters, even the good ones. Like, don't come back!
Well, Godzilla, you know, in the beginning of his movies, was, you know, that radioactive force of nature that was pretty much like a, hey, you mess around with atomic power, you mess around with nuclear, this is what's going to happen. Then slowly as the movies got popular, as they were dragging the series on, they realized, you know, the biggest demographic for their films was kids. So they did start catering more and more to kids. You know, Godzilla was teaming up with other monsters. It got a little bit more kiddie. Godzilla was more of a protector of Japan than, you know, a destructor of Japan.
Right.
And they added Godzuki.
Well, Godzuki was only the cartoon. The small one that you're referring to from the live action, that is Minya.
I knew that. Right. So to recap that, Godzuki is from the, what was it, 1970s cartoon?
70s cartoon, yeah.
He was, Brian, he was like Godzilla's little friend or son or something?
Yeah.
I never knew that was a different character.
Yeah, the flying one that you see stumbling around on the cartoon, Godzuki, he was never in the show.
Okay, but the little guy that breathes a little circular like puffballs, that's, what's his name, Minya?
Minya or Mindya.
What's his relationship to any other monsters?
In a movie, Godzilla finds the egg, rescues him. The egg is on an island. He's getting attacked by other monsters, and Godzilla rescues him. And from that point on, for a certain stanch in movies, you know, he was kind of there, you know, not his main character, but kind of there. Sometimes Godzilla has to rescue him. Sometimes he's being a father figure to him. he did almost have his own movie at one point. There is a movie called Godzilla's Revenge that came out in 1969. Now, this is a one that did play on a lot of those like Sunday matinees that you might have seen, like, you know, on Monster Theater, where a lot of people confuse Godzuki with him because I remember seeing him in this one that was very apparent where he's in it, where the whole movie is pretty much in a child's imagination, and he's palling around with that monster, and the monster's actually talking to him, and they're actually relevant size for most of the movie. Like, the actor was a little person in a suit, so he's child size. So they're palling around for a lot of the movies, and if you ever saw the American version, which was broadcast here, you'd really remember the voice that they used for him. Because if you remember the show Davy and Goliath, that stop action kind of churchy show.
Yes.
From the 70s. The voice of the dog that, okay, Davy, the monster's voice sounded exactly like that.
Okay, so now that we know that that creature's voice was the mopey dog from Davy and Goliath, Brian. Okay, all right. So now that we know that we have at least a very similar sounding voice, how does that clash or map onto the Godzuki you remember, Brian, from the animated series?
Well, I actually remember him. I just didn't know. I thought that was his name. I thought that was just Godzuki.
So they did an animated, it was like a 1970s cartoon, and didn't the kid have like a pal that was a little mini Godzilla, basically?
Yeah, that's the Godzuki.
That's Godzuki. Okay. Yeah. And am I right in that it was like a raging 70s cartoon with like raging 70s hair and et cetera?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the show is actually, I think it's still on Netflix. You know, punch one up, it's pretty ridiculous. Godzilla, they can be anywhere in the world. They're in trouble. They actually have, like, it looks like a pager on their belt with one big button.
They just summon him?
Summon, like, oh, no, look, shit's going down. They hit the button, and he just pops out of nowhere. It looks like they could be in 20 feet of water, and he can just pop out.
There's a mud puddle. Summon Godzilla.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But, I mean, I loved it as a kid. I remember having the actual record, and I used to play that all the time with the soundtrack to it.
Are you giving that an endorsement? Should we watch that?
I'd give it a try. It's not, you know, it's horrible, but in that old Hanna-Barbera horribleness way.
So it's Hanna-Barbera, in other words, from that era. Okay, great. A lot of repeated animation cells. Are there any running back and forth between doors, like chasing, like Scooby-Doo style?
Oh, I don't think any band kicks in and they do that.
Oh, man. We were just discussing how that was the only missing from the recent Hobbit movie in one of our previous episodes. So we got the confusion cleared up between Godzuki and Minya, as I think you said. Mm-hmm. We walked down memory lane. We all talked about how much we loved the 90s Godzilla movie and are hoping that the new one lives up to that. So why don't we now get into your list of recommendations, absolute must-sees for somebody interested in exploring the kaiju genre, learning more about kaiju, etc. What should someone absolutely must-see if they want to get kind of a really good survey of the genre?
Okay, should I start off with just Godzilla? Like, give a list of the great, really good Godzilla movies you should see first, and then give a list of here are the ones outside the realm of Godzilla that you should watch? Do something like that?
I like that, yeah, because Godzilla, people are familiar with Godzilla, and so he's the gateway drug, and then we can branch out from there. Let's do that.
Okay, well, first things first, you know, everyone should start off with seeing the very serious tone, black and white, 1954 Japanese version, you know, of Godzilla. Go out, do yourself a favor. If you have a Blu-ray player, go out, buy the new Criterion Collection one that came out like 2 years ago. It's beautiful. Totally restored. After that, I would say skip a couple years to 1962 and watch King Kong versus Godzilla. Another great one. Godzilla has an amazing looking suit in this one. Really different looking, you know, suit for the time. Wide face, really bulky. This movie has always had a lot of controversy throughout the years. At the end of the movie, there is one winner. I'm not going to spoil it, but everyone always claimed that there was two different versions of this movie as the ending, one having King Kong win for the American audience, one having Godzilla win for the Japanese audience. But lo and behold, there is only one ending to this movie.
And the victor, I will not give it away either, but the victor surfaces from the ocean, and that's how you know that creature is the victor, right?
Congratulations.
Sorry, that's kind of a semi-spoiler, but I couldn't resist.
Yeah. Okay, after that, I would say go to Mothra versus Godzilla. Mothra was already an established character in the Toho universe, having its own standalone movie years earlier. This is a great-looking movie. You know, it has a very big scope to the way they filmed it, amazing colors. If you want to see a giant moth battle Godzilla, great movie to go to. After that, I would say same year, 1964, they were cranking these movies out. Monster Zero, another great one. After that one is pretty much a lot of people's favorite. One when they were a kid, everyone remembers it, Destroy All Monsters.
Yes.
This is the one where they pretty much was like, they wanted to send Godzilla out with a bang. They were kind of thinking this would be almost like the last, you know, film in the series for a while at least. You know, when they took a lot of suits out of the closet, threw them on guys, had one giant monster epic. This one also, a couple years ago, was released on Blu-ray. Sadly, though, it is out of print. So if you didn't get it, I guess some things did not go the way Toho wanted. So kind of like they said, you know, don't print any more of these DVDs for now. So right now, unless you have it, that Blu-ray will run you on Amazon about $90.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can find some releases on DVD from a couple years earlier. Not as beautiful looking, but you know, definitely Destroy All Monsters is worth watching. Then here, number six on my list. This is another one where people either love this movie or hate it. Godzilla versus Hedorah. Now, a lot of people know that is Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, where he fights the big slime creature. This is one of my favorites. It's one that I always remembered as a kid. Came out in 1971. A lot of people think Hedorah, they're like, oh, he's just fighting a big pile of crap. He's just fighting a big slime ball. I think it was a very original looking suit. I think until the very end, where there's not a spoiler, you should definitely stick around for the very end of the movie to see what happens, what Godzilla does, which a lot of people kind of wag their finger at. But this movie, right from the get-go, 5 minutes in, there's monster action. I think the movie has a little bit more serious tone, even though there is a child in the movie. You know, it has a big, you know, overtone of pollution. A lot of people don't like it because it is a wacky 70s theme. It's got a very swinging soundtrack. There is a go-go dancer scene. And it has little, I would say, animated clips in between scenes, kind of like things against pollution. And yeah, I think if you're going to go all out with a movie, this is it. You know, they didn't know what they were doing with the genre. They gave it to a new director. Pretty much they gave him, like, go for it. And after he handed in his final work, they pretty much looked at him and said, you're fired. You know, he didn't have work again through Toho for quite a while. Certain people in the company blame him for the death of Godzilla. And, you know, to me, I think this is a actual great movie.
And so it very much captured the 70s, like, hyper-eco-consciousness that was going on at the time.
Yeah. It doesn't have, like, as, you know, a grand scale to the movie. You know, where like 1,000 people are running in the street and you see buildings getting trashed. There's not that much fighting in the city, but because the creature evolves from tadpole form all the way up to gigantic kaiju size, there's definitely some great scenes in that movie.
So just spill it. Godzilla takes the creature and stuffs him into a big recycling bin at the end, doesn't he?
Nah.
Oh, okay. That's
my goal. Then my number 7 and 8 kind of fall together is the 1974 and 1975, almost like a double feature. It's the Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla and the Terror of Mechagodzilla, the sequel. These are both great. Pretty much they were trying to bring back the formula for Godzilla at the very end. He wasn't really, you know, looking out for, you know, the kids anymore, because there was a certain time where in the middle of Godzilla's, I would say, Showa career. Now, the Showa saga does run from 1954 to 1975. That's considered the Showa series. That's the first incarnation of Godzilla before there was ever like a break, before new movies started coming out.
What's Showa again, if you could?
Yes, Showa.
What is that? Is that just, what is that word?
Showa, it actually represents, they call it the Showa series, because that was actually the Japanese emperor who was in power at that time of those movies. So during those two films, the ones including Mechagodzilla, they went for a much more serious tone again. Like I was saying, like for a certain time, Godzilla went from being the force of nature. They realized that kids were the main demographic. The movies got a little bit softer, a little bit more childlike. Godzilla got a little bit more friendly. And they were kind of bringing him back to be a little bit more hardcore. If you want to see giant explosions, watch these movies. You know, director of these movies, he pretty much poured gasoline all over the set and said, light that shit on fire. Yeah, you will see some of the biggest gas fireballs ever.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And then my last recommendation, I would say skipping all the way ahead to the Millennium series. Now, the Millennium series is the 99 to 2004 saga, the movies that took place during that time. And that movie is called Godzilla GMK, or Godzilla Monsters All Out Attack. Now, this is a movie that was given to a director that did the Gamera series. There was a Gamera trilogy that came out in the 90s. They thought he did a great job. They were like, you know, we'll give you a shot at Godzilla now. So he did these, this one movie, and this movie is a standalone movie. It is a direct sequel from the 1954 Godzilla. Now, this movie came out in 2001, so any other movie in between those doesn't count. There's been a couple different timelines that they've done where they're like, you know, let's go off in this direction. This is, let's see if this happened. But this one is just like 1954 happened, straight to GMK. He is definitely, you know, a force of nature again. He is flat out evil. You always saw Godzilla, you know, melting tanks or kicking over jeeps. You never really see him aiming for quote-unquote people. This one, he is flat out, I would say, killing. He looks evil. They made him look really monstrous. He doesn't have any pupils to his eyes. He has just solid white eyes. And it's definitely one that everyone should check out. It steers the series in a different direction, and it's really cool.
Well, back to the roots, where you have a menacing force in Godzilla that's here to, like, punish mankind, basically.
Yeah. They knew about Godzilla because they had one run into him, so there's always been a kind of like a team waiting for his return, and then it happens.
And he kicks the crap out of them, right? They, even though they have like a cool like salute they do, and they go get in their spaceship, he just wins, right?
Gotta watch it.
Oh, gosh. I want to. Okay, go on.
Okay, well, that is my 10 for the Godzillas. That, you know, ones that I really enjoy. I think all of them are worth pretty much a one watcher. You know, some are not that great. Some are really great. And then I'll give you five movies in the non-Godzilla film category that you should see. One is called Frankenstein Conquers the World. This is one that, you know, I didn't see until I was a little bit older. I think this is a great movie. This starts off with pretty much Nazis having Frankenstein's heart. And I will just let it go from there. So this somehow becomes a kaiju where it actually fights another kaiju at the end on top of a volcano.
So they take the heart from Frankenstein's monster, and from that, a kaiju creature is created.
It is somehow created.
Oh, wow.
Then there's actually a pseudo-sequel to that movie. It wasn't really, when it was brought over to the U.S., paired like it was a sequel. But the movie I just mentioned, Frankenstein Conquers the World, actually had a sequel called War of the Gargantuans, where now two monsters who are spawned off the original monster come to do battle with each other. And the effects and the miniatures in this movie are amazing. This is actually a lot of people's, one of their favorite kaiju movies. I would say definitely check it out, called War of the Gargantuans. All these are available on DVD in the United States. Okay, then the original Rodan. Before he took, before he was in any Godzilla movie, he had his own standalone movie. Really great suit. Looked much different from the suit that was used in any of the Godzilla movies. Much bulkier, much more kind of almost reptilian looking. The whole movie is not a giant monster movie trashing the city. Maybe that happens towards the end of the movie. It has a much more kind of almost horror, kind of outer limits feel to it. There's a lot of people trapped in tunnels and large insectoid creatures. Really great film. A lot of great special effects work. I'm going to compile these next two because they are trilogies, but I'm going to count them as one. One is the one that we talked about earlier called Daimajin. Now, this is the series I spoke about, 1966. They knocked out three movies. You know, it takes place in feudal Japan, so you're going to see a lot of time period. And there's a giant stone idol that comes to life.
I can't imagine what feudal Japanese warriors could do against such a foe.
I would say definitely check it out. It's available on for pretty cheap, and it's on Blu-ray in a three-disc set.
By the way, am I wrong in my assumption that this creature is a foe of feudal Japanese society?
Actually, he is not.
Oh, man, I want them to fight. All right, still cool.
Okay, and then my number five is the Gamera trilogy from the 90s, the Hentai Gamera trilogy. These are a trilogy of movies that came out, really amazing ones. You know, they really bumped up the whole miniature work, the way they would do maybe environments. First one, it's a little bit slower. You know, there's just one monster. It's a basic retelling of some of the earlier Gamera movies, which I would definitely say check out at some point, but they have to be taken with a grain of salt. They did not have the quality or the budget of the Godzilla movies for the day. So I would say check those out on the back burner, but definitely the trilogy from the 90s. Those also, they have a box set on Blu-ray, and I think I've actually seen that in, like, Target and stuff like that for, like, $7.
That is almost definitely worth it. Gamera is the, of course, the flying turtle guy, right?
Yes.
I remember loving that character as a kid, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you liked him as a kid, that looks like nothing. He kicks serious assness, and the miniature work is amazing, and the monsters they created for the second two movies, great. All right. And here are some of my pass-on movies, if you have any interest. Here's some movies that maybe, when you've seen the rest, go ahead and check these out. One is the one we spoke of earlier, 1969, Godzilla's Revenge. That is the one where mostly it all takes place in a kid's dreams. You know, it's all a fantasy to the kids. He's dealing with a bully in school, so he's imagining being on Monster Island, and there's a story about bullying. Okay, the next movie I would say kind of stay clear of is a couple years back, they released a kind of tongue-in-cheek kaiju movie made called Kappa. Now, if anyone doesn't know, Kappa are mythological yokai creatures in Japanese mythology. They kind of live in the water, and they pull kids into the water. They kind of look like turtle humanoids. Now, this was kind of done, like, a little bit jokey, but I watched it. A friend of mine picked it up, and it's a hard one to sit through. Not that enjoyable, but if you've seen the rest, go ahead. If you can find it available, it's not available in the U.S. Going to have to either download that or import it. But that is a Kappa.
Kappa.
Yeah. After that, I would say the 1994 Godzilla versus Space Godzilla. Now, this one, the actual Space Godzilla outfit, pretty cool. The rest of the movie, not that great. The end fight scene looks kind of hokey. It's set up in a weird place. It's just kind of crystals. Looks like they were kind of had a low budget on this one. But, you know, like I said, if you've seen the rest, check it out. And then the last one, the actual final Godzilla movie that was made in 2004, Godzilla Final Wars. This movie had a huge hype behind it. This was Toho pretty much giving a director, like, you know, pull out all the stops. He's like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm bringing back pretty much all of the monsters from all the series, and it's going to be one giant battle. And everyone's like, yes, we're going to get a new Destroy All Monsters. What we got pretty much was the Matrix meets Godzilla. Guys coming down, you know, of course they kidnap all the monsters. They're deploying the monsters all over Earth. Godzilla's fighting them. That's all good. But the side story is these guys in leather-type clothes, and the military is trying to get them, and there's weird car and motorcycle chases and stop motion and bullet time. Kind of a mess. You know, and there was definitely some monsters that, like, you're like, oh, wow, they threw that guy in this movie. And they're in the movie for 10 seconds. And they're just trashed. The one redeeming thing about this movie, which I did send Tom this clip a couple weeks ago.
I know exactly what it is. This is great.
That the Godzilla from the United States, the giant iguana, is actually put into the movie in bad CG, and the guy in the suit obliterates him.
And I believe the guy who puts him in was like, I don't know what I was thinking putting a useless creature like that.
Yeah, it's pretty much like, you know, he's hits him with Godzilla hits the U.S. Godzilla with his tail once. He flies into the Sydney Opera House and just blows the whole thing up. And that creature is gone.
Oh, what a fitting end.
You know, pretty much the only redeeming thing to the film.
So this last list sounds like a pass-on/supper-through if you've got nothing else to do list.
Pretty much. You know, if you're into the genre, I'm sure you're going to see them at one point or another, but those are my first, like, you know, if you're just getting into it and you're like, hey, I like that first list. These are the ones maybe you shouldn't jump into or introduce someone who's new right away.
Right. If you as an experienced fan of the genre want something to chuckle at maybe or kind of sneer at, that you turn to these, I think.
Sure.
Okay. We will bear that in mind. We'll make sure to let everybody know that in our show notes as well. All right. I think we've done a very thorough analysis of kaiju and covered everything from a very concise and complete definition to some examples of adaptations in Western media to an excellent list of must-sees and maybe sees when you're looking for something to ridicule while hanging out with your buddies.
Always a good time to watch these with your buddies.
Yes. Anything else you want to cover, sir, before we let you get back to your crafting your own rubber suit?
I'd say besides, all the movies listed, there are other things that go out that deal with the genre that are available, that you can actually go out, order through Amazon or find in your local video store if you still have those. Some that have been released quite recently, sets that have not been available. Going into a different part of kaiju, there is always the Ultraman, which was shown here in the United States, different series time and time again. Ultraman, the original series, is available in the United States for very, very cheap. You can probably pick that up for like $8 for the first original series. Ultra 7, which is the next series, was never available in the United States. Did a great job boxing that up. I would definitely check that out. That's called Ultra 7. And then if anyone likes something more aligned with Twilight Zone, there's the series that kicked off pretty much all kaiju on television. It was originally done in black and white. They originally, a couple years ago, they colored it, but this is the original black and white version of Ultra Q. And you can order that online. That's an amazing series. Ultra Q does not have any sort of superhero or any good guy in it, like you'd say, like Ultraman or a monster fighting these other creatures. It's pretty much more along the lines of a monster is the mystery, and then there's a detective team trying to solve it. But sometimes the monster does grow to kaiju size, and sometimes it stays in, relatively human size.
Killer. All right, well, more solid recommendations. Any final thoughts on the genre, on kaiju, on really anything before we, let's see, we already said, I already used the let you get back to building your rubber suit. What else would you be doing? Completing your collection of rare figures?
Pretty much.
Okay. Anything else? Final thoughts, opinions?
No, that'd be it. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully I put a little bit of light with my know-how on the genre and maybe spark some interest out there and have people check out these movies before the 2014 Godzilla hits the theaters.
Yeah, we're looking to build excitement, both between Brian and I and among our audience members. And we will definitely have you back when we do next week's episode on daytime soaps. I know you're a big daytime soap opera fan.
Sweet.
Yeah, that should be great. Brian, you're a big Young and the Restless guy, right?
Yeah, man. Raised on that since I was cutting elementary school.
I'm a big General Hospital guy. It kind of put me off to go into med school because I didn't want all that drama, but still an excellent show. Cool, Jordan. Well, thanks for being on, and we will surely have you on again to discuss some other geeky topics in the future.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. Well, that was a pretty interesting survey of kaiju. Do you agree?
I do agree. I learned a lot, and I kind of thought I knew a lot to begin with. Kind of thought I was a Godzilla fan.
Yeah, I actually am excited because this is a whole genre I can explore now about which I knew very little. I mean, I was proud of myself that Baby almost got an honorable mention for being in the kaiju subcategory. But, I always wondered how that little baby dinosaur moved so adroitly. Because a person was actually like on all fours, like skedaddling along. I was really, really, really hoping to get the Kraken from Clash of the Titans officially entered into the roles. I think I'm going to try to edit Kaijupedia and see if I can slip it in. But yeah, I thought Jordan was a great guest, and I thought he brought real enthusiasm. And I think that we and our audience have a great starting point from which to explore the wonders of kaiju.
I will be looking up some of those titles for sure, because the whole Godzilla thing really, really intrigued me. I've always loved that. And I don't know if anyone's really aware of this, but I do have a fondness of samurai flicks.
Oh, yeah.
So going back in time and fighting fighting alongside the stone idol as a samurai sounds fun.
That does sound cool. And as well, I will say that for whatever reason, the local channels in our area when we were kids had a big thing about showing they're not really so much samurai movies, and this is kind of a stretch, but they would always show like martial arts kind of and like weapon, you know, weapon fighting movies along with rubber monster movies, so to speak.
But it didn't matter what they were showing. It could be like Godzilla, or it could be, you know, like Drunken Monkey style. It was still called Samurai Sunday.
Oh gosh, yeah, that was such an awful generalization. Like, no, this is like Chinese. This has nothing to do with it. It's Samurai Sunday, kid. Just sit down and watch it and shut up. Okay, whatever. Yeah. Gosh, an entire generation like completely brought up on Asian generalizations. But still, Samurai Sunday has a special place in my heart. And I think that is why I have an interest in this topic. The new Godzilla movie sounds awesome, by the way.
Sounds like I'll be seeing it, and you know, I'm not easy to get out.
Can't be any worse than the new Lord of the Rings movie, right?
Yeah, no. Hopefully not.
You're not as invested, so even if it's bad, you won't feel as heartbroken.
I don't know if I could have enjoyed... Well, yeah, maybe I guess I could have, because I could enjoy Independence Day.
Ugh, we need to talk about that, my man. I really don't know how I'm friends with you if you like that movie. But that's for another time. Speaking of time, I would like to recommend something to our listeners. That being that they take the time to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if they are iTunes users, rate us favorably, and write us an awesome review, a kaiju-inspired review, with our new kaiju identities, Tomzilla and Brian Don. And as well, check us out on Stitcher if streaming is more to your liking. And check out our website, nerdstravaganza.com, or email us at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google+. And if you want that insider information, join us on our Facebook group.
And with that said, I think only a monstrous roar can see us off into the future.
To wonk!